Okay, today's daf is Shabbat daf Kuf Chaf Hey. We're at the bottom of Kuf Chaf Dalet Amud Bet Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel Magufat Chavit Shnichtecha Mutar Talat Al B'Shabbat. Right, so if the lid of a barrel is cut off, you're allowed to move it on Shabbat. Tanin Amiachi, similar, we taught the same thing in a Braita Magufa Shnichtecha He V'Shivrei Mutar Talat Al B'Shabbat. Right, the lid of a barrel was cut off, you can carry it and the broken pieces of it. Velo yaspot mimena shever, but you can't break off a piece. Lechasod ba takli velismoch ba karei amita, right? To use as a cover for a jar or a vessel of some sort, or to support the leg of your bed. Veim zarka beashba aser, but if you threw it out in the garbage, then it's forbidden because you clearly show that this is not significant in your eyes. Matki for papa elamata zarek leligleme achinami aser. Right, well, if that was the case, and if someone put a garment in the trash, then also you couldn't use that garment because you put it in the garbage and clearly expressed it's not significant for you. Ella Amar Rava im zarka mibeod yom la'ashba asura. Now we're talking about if you threw it out erev Shabbat, right? Because then it doesn't even start Shabbat in your head as a usable thing that you intend to make use of on Shabbat. However, throwing out on Shabbat, you'd be allowed to use it still. Amar Bar Hamaduri Amar Shmuel Kerumit Shel Machatzelet Mutar L'Tatal M'Shabbat. So shreds of a mat, you can move them on Shabbat. My time, Amar Rava Bar Hamaduri Asbarali. So Rava says, yeah, but Bar Hamaduri explained to me the reason. Machatzelet Gufa L'Maychatzel L'Chsuya Ba'Afra Hanam Michatzel L'Chsuya Ba'Tinofet. Right, because the mat itself is supposed to cover up the dust of the ground, and these shreds are still useful for a similar function to cover up dirt. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav Shirei Pruzmiot Asur Taltalan B'Shabbat. So the strips, the shreds of a talit, you're allowed to move on Shabbat. Amar Rabaye Matlaniot Shein Ben Shalosh Al Shalosh. The Lo Chazian Lo Lanim V'Lo LaShirim. Right. So when it comes to small patches of cloth that don't have the minimum size of 3 by 3 finger breadths, right? These are not fit for the poor or for the rich, and that's why they can't be used. However, if they were bigger than that and they would be fit for the poor, perhaps, or even bigger and fit for the rich, then they would have a function on Shabbat. Tanur Rabbanan, Shivrei Tanur Iyashan, Arehen Kechol HaKelim Adetalin B'Chatzer. Right, so broken pieces of an oven, they're like all other vessels that can be moved around in a courtyard. Divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Nitalin. Rabbi says that they're not allowed to be moved. Heid Rabbi Yosi Mishum Rabbi Elazar Ben Yaakov Al Shivrei Tanur Yashan Shinatalim B'Shabbat. Rabbi Yosi Ben Yaakov testifies that the broken pieces of an old oven are allowed to be moved on Shabbat. Al Kisuya and Sheinu Tzarech Bet Yad. And furthermore, the cover of an oven doesn't need a handle in order to make it considered a functional part of a kli that can be moved on Shabbat. But my complaint to Gabe, what's behind the machloket as to whether or not you're allowed to move these pieces of a broken oven? Amar Abaye Beosim Me'en Melacha Ve'en Osim Me'en. They're arguing about whether something needs to be fit for any purpose or fit for a relevant for a similar purpose to what it was initially designated for. Vazda Rabbi Yehuda Latame. So Rabbi Yehuda follows his shita. Vazda Rabbi Meir Latame, and Rabbi Meir follows his shita. Right. So when you consider whether these broken pieces of an oven can serve a similar function to what they were originally used for as an oven, then you'd be allowed to use it. But if they're only fit, according to Rabbi Yehuda, but if they're only fit for a similar, for an unsimilar purpose, but fit for a different purpose altogether, that's the subject of the machloket, right? Are they fit for any purpose, but not fit for some purpose, but not for their original purpose? Or are they still considered to be fit for their original purpose, the broken pieces of an oven? Matki fla rava ihachi ad miflagi b'shivrei tanur liplagi b'shivrei kelim. Ba'alma, right? But if that's the case, since they're having a machloket about the broken pieces of an oven, let them just have a machloket about broken kalim in general. What is specific to this oven that they're having a machloket about? They have a machloket in general about all kalim, whether or not they whether you can use all kalim that no longer serve a similar function to their own. Ela amar rava b'shivrei dehai tanur kamiflagei. Rather, they're arguing about the broken pieces of a very, very specific oven, right? The type of oven which is as follows: Ditna natnu al pi abor al pi adut v'natan sham even. So let's say you kind of made a makeshift oven that you put on top of a pit or a fire pit, a pit that was either dug or built up, and then you put in a stone in there to wedge it in place. So it's not really a full-fledged oven when you think about it, because it's not even attached to the ground properly, but it is tightly secured. So we're asking whether this is a proper kli. Rabbi Yehuda Omer imasik milamata vehin nisok milamala. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you can light the flame on the bottom and it heats up the top properly, well, that's proper oven. Instead of it's going to be come tame, because anything that's a proper vessel can be susceptible to tuma. However, if you heat it up on the bottom, it doesn't become hot on the top, and that's not a proper oven, in which case it's not going to become tame. And the chum say, no, if you can light it anywhere, then it functions in the oven and it's going to be tame. But what's behind that machloket here? The high cross, so really they have an argument over how to read the following pasuk. Tanur v'chiraim yutat, tmeim heim, tmeim yulachem. Right? An oven or a stove shall be taken apart, and if the oven or a stove needs to be taken apart, then it's tame, and it becomes tame to you. Meaning, if an oven or a stove needs to be taken apart, because right now it is fully intact, then it's fully intact, and therefore it is tame, and it remains tame until the point where you fully take it apart. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, mechusar netitza tame, shein mechusar netitza tahor. He learns from that anything that is fully constructed and would need to be taken apart in order for it not to be functional, then that can become tame. But if something itself from the very beginning is not fully constructed, then it's already tahor and doesn't need to be taken apart in order for it to become tahor. Rabbanan savri, tameim yulachem mikol makom. And according to the Rabbanan, it says tameim yulachem, so whether or not we consider it fully constructed, it's going to be considered tame as long as it's partially constructed. Apropos our case with the oven, which is not really proper oven, but it's wedged in place with a rock. Rabbanan nami achdiv yutatz. But according to the Rabbanan, why then is it written yutatz? What distinction are they making? An oven that is would need to be taken apart in order to become tame, or not taken apart in order to become tame? I understand what Rabbi Yehuda uses for that. That's how he draws a distinction between a fully fledged oven, which is tame, and a not fully fledged oven, which is not tame. But what did the Rabbanan do with that pasuk? Ahu leidach gisa tzak daitach amina kegufa de arad kevan de mechabre be arad kegufa. For the aradame kamashmalan, right? Know that you need that because you may have thought the totally opposite svara. Since this thing is attached to the ground, it has the status of something that is attached to the ground. Something that's attached to the ground, by the way, cannot become tame. So I needed that. I needed that idea, that word yutatz, to teach me that even though it is connected to the ground, it's not fully attached to the ground, and therefore it can actually become tame. But I would have thought otherwise, because anything that's mechuber lekarka can't become tame in general. V'idach nami. What about Rabbi Yehuda? What does it do with hachtiv tameim yulachem? The seemingly the end of the pasuk that says that it's going to be tame for you. What did he do with that? He doesn't hold that it's going to be tame regardless, like the Rabbanan hold. Hayik the Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Machloket Behesek Rishon Behesek Sheni. Afilu talui b'tzavar gamel, right? So he actually needs that tamei yelachem to teach you that shita of Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan have a Rabbi Yehuda, sorry, and Shmuel have a machloket. When it comes to the first lighting of an oven that is propped up on a camel's neck, as to whether or not that at that point it's already considered a proper oven, right? So if, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Tameh Yelechem, because it will be called Tameh, it'll always be Tameh, so Rabbi Yehuda already considers this a proper oven, and therefore it can be susceptible to Tumah, even though it's not wedged into the ground. Amar Ula Behesek Rishon L'Rabbanan. So according to the Rabbanan, even the first lighting of the flame, even the first lighting of this oven constitutes it a real oven, even though it's hanging around a camel's neck, and therefore it's going to be susceptible to tumah. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, only by the second lighting it will become tame. Matkif la Rav Ashi, but Rav Ashi rejects this whole understanding. That's what we're talking about here. Right? If we have a machloket about the broken pieces of an oven, really you should have had an argument about the oven itself. The oven itself is under question as to whether or not it's susceptible to tumah. Why are you only arguing about the broken pieces of the oven? Tana Gufa la Rabbi Yehuda lo have mana shivre shivarav mibaya. Right, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't even consider the oven itself under some circumstances. He doesn't consider the oven itself to be a proper utensil, right? A proper kli, because it's not wedged in properly. So you're gonna have a machloket. So all the more so you can have a machloket about the all the more so. The broken pieces of the oven, he's not going to be considered an oven. I mean, he has a machloket whether the oven, fully intact, is considered a vessel that can become tameh. So all the more so, he's not going to believe that the broken pieces of this oven are going to become tameh, right? So really, it's unnecessary to have a machloket about the broken pieces. It's unnecessary to have a machloket about the broken pieces of the oven when he already doesn't believe that the oven itself is going to become tameh, right? So it's unlikely that's what they're arguing about because it's obvious. The case of the broken pieces is going to be obvious. Rather, what's the machloket they're having here? El amar Rav Ashi le'olam k'da amar meikar. Rather, it's what we're talking about initially be'ose ma'ase tapka, right? So the machloket is as we're having originally regarding whether it does a similar malacha or just fit for some malacha, and we're talking about if you can use the broken pieces of the oven as like as heating sources, right? So you heat up the broken pieces of the oven from behind them and then put something on top of the broken piece of the oven. Is that similar enough to its originally function as an oven? Rabbi Meir Ladvarav or Rabbi Yehuda Ka'amar Ladidi Afilu Be'osi in Malacha. And Rabbi Meir was really asking within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. He says, according to my opinion, really, as long as it does anything, you're fine. El Ladidcha Odi Li Miha Dechihai Gavna. All right, but according to your opinion, that says he really needs to do a similar malacha to its original designed intent. At least admit to me that this is similar enough to be considered a proper vessel, because you can still use it to cook something by heating from the outside of it. Rabbi Yehuda lo dami hatam hesekum b'fini macha hesekum b'chutz. And Rabbi Yehuda says no, using these broken pieces of an oven to heat things up is not a similar enough use to what they're originally designated for as an oven, because there the heat was from in the inside the oven. Here the heat is from the outside, where you're just heating up from the outside of these broken pieces of the oven, putting things on top of it. Hata me'umad, hacha lav me'umad. And there, if you would cook on it, you would kind of cook things in a vertical fashion by sticking them to the walls of the oven. But here, you have to lay it across the tile in order to cook it properly. In which case, it's not similar enough. The broken piece of the oven is not going to constitute a piece of the oven. It's not similar enough to its original function. Hey'id Rabbi Yossi Mishum Rabbi Elazar Ben Yaakov Al Shiv Retan Ur Yashan. So we said that Rabbi Yossi testified in the name of Rabbi Yaakov that the broken pieces of an oven are allowed to be moved on Shabbat, like you see on Shein Sarach Midyat, and the covers of the oven do not need a handle in order to be moved. Amar Ravina Keman Metaltelin Ha'idna. So Ravina says, by the way, who do we follow? Whose sheet do we follow? Nowadays, where we seem to move the covers of an oven, they don't have a handle. Kiman, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Well, we clearly were following the sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, as we just mentioned earlier, that he's the one who said it's allowed. Kenu Mishnah, Evan Shabi Kiruha, Mimalin Ba, Ve'ein Nofelet, Mimalin Ba, Vimlav Ein Mimalin Ba. So if you have a stone lodged into the peel, or you know, kind of the shell of a gourd, right, and that stone is there strong enough in place so that if you fill it up with water, it won't fall out, then it's allowed to be moved, it's allowed to be used, and the stone doesn't make the gourd mukta. However, if it's not lodged there strong enough that the water will not come out, then you're not allowed to use it. Zimura shik shura b'tafiyach b'malin ba b'shabbat. A vine that's tied to a pitcher, you're allowed to use it on Shabbat. Pakak chalon, Rabbi Elazar omer, b'zman shu kashur v'talui, Pokkin bo, v'im lav, and pokkin bo. Right? When it comes to a window shutter, if it's tied on and the edge of the rope does not reach the ground, the rope that you use to pull the shutter into place does not reach the ground, then you're allowed to pull the shutter into place on Shabbat. But if it reaches the ground, then you're not allowed to, because lifting it up off the ground to put it in place looks like you're building something. According to the Chachamim, you're allowed to use this shutter either way. Gemara, Tanan Hata, Evan Shalpi Hachavit, Mate Al Tzidavino Felet. So we thought over there that when it comes to a rock on the mouth of a barrel, you can just tilt over the barrel and let the rock fall off. We only taught that regard to if you forgot a rock on the barrel. However, if you put it there intentionally, then the barrel becomes a basis l'davara aser, and so the barrel itself becomes aser. Rabbi Yosef Amar Rabbi Asi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Lo Shanu Ela B'Shocheach Avav B'Maniach Nasev Kisui L'Chavid. right? So we only taught regarding someone who put it there intentionally. However, we only taught that it can be tilted off regarding someone who forgot it. But if you put it there intentionally, then it becomes like the lid of the pot itself, right? In which case, it becomes part of the pot. And so it's interesting because we taught that something only becomes part of the kli when it's stuck there very, very hard, so it doesn't fall out. Here we're talking about it becomes part of the kli, becomes a lid for the kli by just leaving it there. Amaravam botavinin ashem atan. Hashem Atin, he says, in theory, you could have used this Mishnah to challenge that which we just taught. Ha'evin shebekirua in malin bav, im mimalin bav ein nofelet mimalin ba, right? Because we taught that if the stone is lodged in a gourd, if you can fill it up and the stone doesn't fall out, then you're allowed to fill it up, right? In which case, you may have thought that the moment you put a stone in a utensil, it becomes part of the utensil. So it wouldn't be mukta. So why are we concerned with this stone on top of the chavit, which is still mukta? Velohi hatam kevan dehadka shavya dofen. Right, but that's not a proper conclusion for our Mishnah, because there in our Mishnah we're talking about where it was securely fastened, and that's why it becomes part of the kli. However, in our case, it's not securely fastened, in which case it doesn't become part of the kli and it stays mukta, and that's why you have to tilt off the rock if you want to move the barrel. Amar Yosef matvin and shematin. Yosef says another thing that you could have tried to extract from our Mishnah to challenge what we just taught. That im lav in mimalimba, right? So if the rock would fall out, you're not allowed to use it for water because clearly it doesn't constitute it as part of the kli. So it seems like if the rock is going to fall off, then it's not part of the kli. And yet here we just said that it may constitute the lid of the kli. Velohi hatam kivan delohadka batulei patla. When it comes to the wall of the kli itself, when it comes to the wall of the kli itself, it needs to be securely fastened, because a wall needs to be, you know, needs to be strong enough to hold the contents of it. But a cap doesn't need to be that strong, right? So when it comes to the wall, it needs to be securely fastened. But when it comes to the cap, it doesn't need to be securely fastened, and that's why we can call the cap, which is resting on top of the rock, which is resting on top of the barrel, is doing what it needs to do to serve its function as a cap, in which case it doesn't need to be securely fastened. Whereas it's only considered a wall if it's securely fastened. No machloket, no contradiction from the Mishnah to that which we taught in a brayta. But what are they arguing about? Meaning, what are they arguing about as to whether or not it becomes like the cap of the barrel or doesn't become the cap of the barrel? The question is whether or not you need a significant action in order to designate a previously mukta external thing to be part of a... To be not mukta on Shabbat. Meaning, can you just say, hey, I want to use that rock on Shabbat. Now it's no longer mukta. Or do you need to use some sort of action that is mukach, that shows that what you intend to use this mukta thing for on Shabbat? That's the machloka that they are having. So resting a rock down in a barrel, is that a maise? Is that an action that proves that you want to use this rock for some sort of functional purpose as the lid of a kli, or does that not make it so and keeps it mukta? Vaz l'tamayu, they follow their own shitas expressed elsewhere. Chiata Rav Dimi Amar Rabbi Chanina v'Amri La Amar Rabbi Zera Amar Rabbi Chanina. Because Rav Dimi said in the name of Rabbi Chia, perhaps Rabbi Zera in the name of Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi once went somewhere, found a pile of stones, go out and designate these rocks so that we can sit upon them tomorrow. And Rabbi clearly did not require an action of any sort in order to designate the stones. He just said, think about them, intend to use them for sitting, and then they were fine to be sat upon. Rabbi Yochanan, actually, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi did require a maise. Ma amarlo, so what action did he tell him to do? Rabbi Ami Amar Tzu Vilamdu Amar Lu Rabbi Asi Amar Tzu Vilamdu Amar Lu says go out arrange them in a way that is convenient to be sitting upon. That's the action. Rabbi Asi Amar Tzu Vishafshifam Amar Lu. And then Rabbi says no, go out and clean them, he said to them. Right? So okay, so they actually have a machloket as to what the degree to the action that you need. Is it enough to go just intend to use them? Do you have to go clean them off so they're fit to use on? Or do they actually have to arrange them in a way that's fit to be used upon? That is the machloket as to how much of an action, if any, is required in order to turn a mukta thing into a non-mukta thing for the use of Shabbat. Itmar Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul Amar.
Amar Sefar Shel Korot Hava Rabbi Yochanan Mejoel Amar Gashush Shel Sefina Hava. Right, so an alternative version of the events. Maybe it wasn't stones. Rather, maybe it was a bunch of a pile of beams. A pile of beams that is not normally sat upon. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, we're actually talking about a certain utensil used in a ship to see how deep the water is. Like you stick a pole deep into the water to see how deep the area that you're in is. And that's what Rabbi was talking about, that he wanted to go designate before Shabbat Manda Amar Gashosh Koshken Savar. The one who says that you're allowed to use the pole for measuring how deep the water is, all the more so you'd be allowed to use a pile of beams, right? Umanda Amar Savar Aba Gashosh Kapitalei. And the one, however, the one who says that he used a pile of beams would hold, perhaps, that using the utensil that measures how deep the water is, you're not allowed to use, because people are makbid to only use that for its purpose in order not to ruin it, in which case you cannot designate it as fit for use on Shabbat. Zemura shikshura. Now we're talking about a vine that was tied to a pitcher. Kishura in lokshura lo. Right? Clearly, if it's tied, you're allowed to, but if it's not tied around, you're not allowed to. So maybe we can suggest that this mission does not follow the shita of Mishum and Gamaliel. Netanya, chariot shel dekel, shagadron le'etzim, v'nim lachalein le'yeshiva, tzarech likshur. And because we taught that if you have a pile of wood, you originally intended to use them to fuel a fire, then you decide, you know, I really want to sit on this pile of wood, you gotta tie them up. You gotta tie them up to show that you want to use them for sitting upon. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer answer Echliksha. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, you don't need to tie them. So clearly, since Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel does not require tying here, perhaps he would not require tying of the vine to the pitcher in order to use the pitcher. Amar of Sheshed, Afilo Tamer Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel. Rather, you can even suggest that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would require, by the sake of a pitcher, by the case of a pitcher, would require tying. Because what case are we dealing with the, in this case of the pitcher and the vine, when the vine is still attached to the plant itself? When the vine is still attached to the plant itself, that's when you require the tying, because we're concerned they're going to come to pull out the vine from the ground. How can you suggest that? Then aren't you using something that's still attached to the ground? You're allowed to use something that's still attached to the ground on Shabbat. No, we're talking about something attached to the ground that's underneath three tvachim that you're allowed to use. Rav Ashi Amar Afilu Tema B'Tlusha. Rav Ashi says, you can even say that we're talking about a vine that was disconnected from the ground, and still Rav Shimon Gamliel would say that you need to retire it, right? Because his concern is that you're going to break the vine into smaller pieces in order to be more suitable for your use. Now we're talking about the shutter of a window, whether or not if the rope is so long that it drags to the ground, whether you're allowed to use that in order to put the shutter of the window on your house. Everyone agrees that you're not allowed to create an impermanent structure on Yom Tov, in Tzarech Lomar Shabbat. And obviously on Shabbat, you're not allowed to create an impermanent structure. Lo nichlaku el lehosif. But they do have a machloket regarding adding to pre-existing structures, right? Like this, the case of this shutter. Rabbi Elezer Omer en mosifin bi Yom Tov en Tzarech Lomar Shabbat. Rabbi Elezer holds that you're not allowed to add things to structure on Yom Tov, and obviously not allowed on Shabbat. The Chachamim omrim mosifim b'Shabbat ve'in tzarech lomar b'Yom Tov. And according to the Chachamim, no, you're allowed to add things on to pre-existing structures on Yom Tov, and the same goes, and obviously the same goes for Shabbat.